And now, more Food Talk STL with David Craig on 590 The Fan KFNS and KFNS.com.
Hey, we're doing the show today from the streets of Maplewood because the Taste of Maplewood Street Festival starts at noon today, goes till 9 p.m. tonight on Sutton Boulevard, south of Manchester. The food and beverage vendors are setting up right now. But in addition to them, we've got the Screaming Mimi Boutique. We talked to those ladies earlier this morning. Stellar Batik Boutique, Maven Boutique, Airedale Antics, specialty pet stuff. So it's a fun time. Come and enjoy Maplewood, Missouri today with us, 590 The Fan, KFNS. I'm David Craig, and George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine is with me. George, let's talk about your new issue. This is the June issue of St. Louis Magazine, and what's going on there?
Well, we thought it was time to cover barbecue in St. Louis. In the last, 5-6 years, especially with guys like Pappy's making it on national TV, there is so much going on in this city now, barbecue-wise, that we thought we'd do a feature. So it's the cover feature in June. We cover everything from local barbecue joints to, you do barbecuing in your backyard.
Of course,
so we didn't
yes.
just keep it to, places to go. We've got, grilling tips for you and me. We even recommended a grill, which, we've never kind of done stuff like that.
Oh, you mean a grill like you would buy
an actual
Lowe's
grill.
Or Home Depot.
And it actually, And so, anyway, there's a lot of different ways to enter this article. But we even crowned the best barbecue joint in St. Louis, and I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want you to buy the magazine. That's
okay.
The deal. Until this gets out on the newsstands, we're going to keep that under wraps, but it's not the place you think.
Well, there's
about that.
There's one place. I mean, I'm looking at your headline here that says Q in the Lou, and I'm thinking of what Adam Wainwright said about a certain place on Olive in the Midtown area. If you know what I'm talking
about.
Yes,
I know that place.
Yes, that one
I've
there.
Heard
yes.
of that place.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and the gentleman that owns that place, Mike Emerson, is actually featured in this magazine a little bit. We've got him going in a one-on-one against a professional backyard griller, a guy named Scott Thomas, and they did some caricatures. And I said, Mike, what'd you think of your caricature? And I wish the folks could see it because he goes, I look like the Honus Wagner baseball card. I said,
yeah.
And it's worth a lot less.
It does have a little bit of a vintage
yeah.
look to it. So credit to your illustrator on that. So this will be on.
This will be on newsstands in 10 days,
and
right now it's and should be the subscribers should be getting it today. And I mean, I don't know why everybody doesn't subscribe to this. If you break it down, it's like 80 cents an issue, which is it's just crazy. We did a Q&A this month with Jamie and Steve Cormorek, and there's 80 cents worth of jokes in this interview. So there's no reason why everybody shouldn't subscribe to the City Magazine.
I saw my old friend Terry Black of Super Smokers. He gets a little
yes.
love from the mag in there as well.
Oh, yeah. And he's a he was a barbecuer long before anybody really knew what was going on. He started Super Smokers, and Mike Emerson worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Skip Steele, who is Mike's partner, the guy who owns Bogart's and is a big hand in Pappy's, these guys were partners in Super Smokers. So that's the roots go back that far, and people don't realize, a guy like Terry Black has really been influential in the barbecue scene in St. Louis. So again, yeah, you got to give a shout out to guys like that. So this is a substantial feature. Mike Mills is in the article as well. He's a
He's over on the east side.
Yeah, he's
Belleville.
He's got I think four different 17th Street barbecues, and he's they call him the King of Swine because he's won Memphis in May so many times. He's won it more. I think he's won three or four.
Retired the trophy.
Yeah, and he's just there's a lot of barbecue kings around St. Louis that people may not know about. So that's one reason we did the feature. So
I look forward to looking at that.
Yeah, we really had fun doing it. We talked about some snoots. Snoots are huge. We're a snoot town. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I think of that as primarily the African American community, but
yep.
And especially African-Americans who were raised down south and migrated up here, you know, in some point during the 20th century. But, yes, I do know that that's a very big deal.
As well with rib tips. Rib tips are very big, too, in certain areas. And we did Ann Lemons Pollock did an ode to rib tips. I mean, they're really very good, but, again, you don't see them in every barbecue joint. You've got to seek them out.
Okay, we're visiting with George Mahey of St. Louis Magazine. What's your official title, George?
I'm the dining editor.
Thank you, of St. Louis Magazine. By the way, did you have a hard time getting the folks who run the magazine? Did you have to lobby a long time to get them to do a best barbecue issue?
Not really. We do this a year in advance, so we were talking about this time last year.
Oh, good.
And we thought, you know, it's time. And they were in total agreement. Sometimes I got to do a little sales job to get myself a cover, but they said, no, this is this one's great.
So. And that's a beautiful pick on the cover as well. Okay, we're visiting with George Mahey here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. This is our Food Talk STL show. It's on every Saturday from 11 to noon. We have a website, which is foodtalkstl.com. We have a Twitter account, which is foodtalkstl. We invite you to follow us. George, something I wanted to ask you about. I read something. I'm not really sure where it was, but I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle. Somebody wrote a letter to their food guy and was complaining about going to restaurants, nice restaurants, and people sitting next to him who were not dressed real nice, you know, jeans and sandals and all of that. And this guy suggested that maybe a restaurant should have a dress-up night. And, you know, I know I've heard so many stories in years past about dress codes and you know, people coming in. I know I once had to put on a jacket to have
lunch. What was that like?
Have lunch at a restaurant. Well, you know, this was 30 years ago in Philadelphia, but it was for lunch, and all gentlemen had to wear a jacket.
Yeah.
But they had some stunt jackets, you know, in case you didn't bring one, go put it on. Are there places around town that still enforce a strict dress code?
You know, there used to be, and I don't think there are any anymore. The one that gets closest is Tony's. You know, it was always jacket required.
Sure.
Even they don't do it anymore, except for Saturday night. Tony's, you have to wear a jacket on Saturday night, but that's it. So that's very interesting that this, you know, 5-7-night-a-week policy has come down to one. And, you know, in another year or two, they may relax that. It's just, you know, you're talking about out in San Francisco. I mean, and part of this problem is, everybody's so casual. The restaurants are getting casual because people are getting casual. And casual in Los Angeles is a lot different than casual in New York. I mean, it's flip-flops and shorts, and it's not quite that casual up east. Casual, that's one of the big problems. Dress is casual. What the heck does that mean?
Well, I think when I go out, I don't mind wearing Dockers. I don't feel underdressed. There are places I probably wouldn't wear jeans, and I don't have any real, you know, designer,
right,
those kind of spectacular-looking jeans. But, I mean, I see women wearing jeans that look dressier than some of their, you know, other clothes. That
maybe it's just our age. I mean, I feel funny if I look a lot different than the people around me. I mean, this food wine design thing. I would call it dressy casual.
Right.
Shirts with collars, slacks, women in nice dresses, a few jackets, and then there was a guy there in shorts. And I thought, that guy looks odd. You know, he looks funny, and he didn't seem to mind.
But I did.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know quite what to think of it, but I thought, well, and that's just kind of the way it is. Everything's, you know, from getting on airplanes, people are wearing pajamas, you know, churches, we used to dress for churches, you don't do that anymore. What's going on, Dave?
I remember when I moved to town, I wouldn't go to the symphony without a coat and tie.
Right.
And now I see people down there in t-shirts and jeans.
Yes.
And the symphony says, that's okay.
Right.
We want people to come in. You don't have to, you know, not that formal.
Restaurants still have dress codes. I picked this out. This is from OpenTable.com, and they, in each one of their recommendations, states a dress code. It still is important. People still want to know what to wear, but, again, casual dress is the first one, and that's so, it's just so meaningless. What I would do if it was me, and if you care, call the restaurant and just say, what's the dress code, and they say casual, and then I say, how about is a polo shirt and jeans okay? Well, I feel, because casual is just so much across the board, and in some places, a polo shirt and jeans, you know, you're way overdressed.
Oh, yeah.
You need the cargo shorts and the flip-flops, and you'll feel fine. So.
And if it is a ball game day, you can go to some nice places in town, and you can see people in shorts with their red T-shirts and all of that stuff. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this new development that's downtown.
Yeah.
It's called, I think it's called Metro, what is it, Metropolitan? It's MX, they're calling it.
Yeah, it's the exchange. Now I can't think of it.
Is it the old Millennium Exchange or something like that?
Yep,
Is it the old St. Louis Center?
Yes, it's at 6th and Washington.
Right.
Mercantile Exchange, I think, is
okay, and it's where they knocked down that big thing going over Washington.
Right. They took out the bridge, and when they originally conceived this, it was this humongous, and it really still is. It's this big entertainment complex. And their original intent was to open 3 or 4 restaurants at the same time. This was actually supposed to happen in April of this year.
Right.
They said, we want to get 4 cool restaurants and open them all on the same day and have this giant splash, which I thought was really cool. And I thought, it's hard to get one restaurant to open on time, let alone 4. So that actually didn't happen. But the good news is restaurants have signed up. They are signing up. The first one was Pi. Chris Summers is, I think it's his 5th unit. And actually the soft opening there is tonight. So that is now open, and I'm actually going to go. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Each one of his restaurants is so cool and so different. Decor-wise, same pizza,
sure.
but the feel and the vibe is so different. So I'm curious to see what he's got.
Well, I know the sushi, Tani Sushi people are going to be there. Robust is going to be there, and Snarf Sandwiches. So, and I heard that there are going to be more. So
yeah, there's a. I think once. Again, I think it's reached critical mass. I think now that there's a couple on board, everybody feels a little bit better about it. And they've gotten permission to do that movie theater. And there's a 3-screen movie theater there, which obviously dovetails with the food very well.
So. Okay, and on your list, you said you've got something that you were going to surprise us with. Is this a new place that's coming to town?
Well, yeah. We talked about this the last time I was on. Once a month I do this. It goes on my blog online. It actually goes in the back of the magazine, too, and it's called Ins, Outs, and Almosts. It's the openings and closings and the coming soons. And I originally did this just to kind of keep up with it, and now it's this monstrous 2-page document that just because there are so many places mainly coming. I thought it was going to be horrible and there'd be all these restaurants closing, but in fact it's just the opposite. So I'm getting ready actually to post this on my blog today, this month's version. But there's one that I just found out about that nobody knows about, and it's I was talking to the guys at the tavern. Out in, you know where that is? Out in Valley
Park.
Oh,
sure, right there at Dorney Ferry and Big Ben.
The same group owns the corner pub next door, the tavern. Both have done very well. Anyway, I found out that they're doing yet another concept, and it's called the Shack Pub Grub. And it's going to be down on Laclede in the old Calico's building, right in the heart of St. Louis U area there. And it's going to be bar food with a chef-driven twist, quote-unquote. And the chef's pretty darn good, so I'll vouch for his capabilities. But they said, you know, it's going to be, so you think it's going to be fancy, you know, gastropub food. But no, they're going to keep it at standard bar and grill prices so the students can afford it. But one thing I thought was interesting, I said, well, what are you doing that for? You know, and he said, think about this. When you go down to Columbia, students from Columbia, you know, there's these iconic restaurants down there, Butch's, Shakespeare's, Heidelberg, you know, all these, the Shack from, I know you know where that is. But he said, think about St. Louis U. He goes, there aren't very many places that are these iconic restaurants where people can, when they come back to town, they just can't wait to go there. And anyway, he goes, I want to be that place. And I thought, that's a good angle.
There are a few, though, that are you know, getting to that status.
Humphreys is getting to that status.
Yep. Well, hey, thank you for stopping by. We're going to talk
some
more of the Maplewood folks here in
just a moment.
And if you want to, are you going to head
up? I'm going to go see what the screaming memes are screaming about. So
okay, well, here, let's see who our next guest is here on 590 The Fan, KFNS. Oh, this is Sherry, and you're a dog groomer?
No, well, I am part owner of Airedale Antics. We're an all-natural pet food store.
Oh, very good.
We also have dog grooming available.
What are you all doing here today at the Taste of Maplewood?
Well, if you feed the humans, you got to feed the four-pawed kids.
Now, is this a dog-friendly event?
It is a dog-friendly event. The cats can come, too, but, you know, the cats really are kind of persnickety. They just don't like being out in the heat.
I don't think I would want to bring my cat to this, but, you know, my dog, yeah. I mean, she would enjoy, you know, I'm sure if, you know, if there's a lot of other dogs, there'll be plenty of...
There'll be fun times.
Plenty
there's
of sniffing.
Good cold water.
Yep.
And down at our booth, we've got some all-natural pet food samples, and we've got some all-natural pet food treats. When we talk about all-natural, we're talking about foods and treats that don't have the fillers, the commercial foods. So our foods and our treats are all corn, wheat, and soy-free. So we've got lamb. We've got venison. We've got bison. Sounds like they eat better than us, huh?
It does. It does sound very good. Well, okay, and the name of your place again is?
Airedale Antics.
All right, and it's part of Taste of Maplewood. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment and meet some more of the folks who are selling food and selling stuff and selling drink and so on. Taste of Maplewood, our live broadcast on 590 The Fan, KFNS, Food Talk STL. We're broadcasting through the facilities of the Bomarito Automotive Group Studio, and we're back with more next on 590 The Fan.